Greetings in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the 15th day of December in the year of our Lord, 2020. You're listening to The Daily Sword, a daily guide to prayer and Bible reading produced by Sovereign King Church in Southern Indiana on the Fight Laugh Feast Network. I pray this podcast is a blessing to you. Let us begin. Our call to faith and repentance today comes from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 28. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." The Bible says how blessed are the feet of those who carry good news. And here comes the angel Gabriel with good news to Mary. Now, this good news was sent from God by the angel Gabriel, an angel that we see in the book of Daniel that most likely looked like a man. In fact, it describes him pretty normal looking in the book of Daniel. And so it may have been this thing that Mary was frightened. Well, how did this man appear in my house? And so she shows herself to be very modest in this passage. A lot of the commentators, especially Calvin, point out how reserved and modest and how feminine that Mary is, and that she is respectful in her responses and is even perplexed, you'll see, in the greeting that's given her. And so right off the bat, as we think about repentance and faith, we ought to think about the kind of women that God would want the women of our churches, our families, and society to be, right? What kind of daughters do we raise, fathers? Do we raise daughters who are loud and brash, always seeking their own way, or women that are modest, that have a gentle and quiet spirit, that respond with respect, that could even be called a virgin at that age? We live in a time when it would be probably hard to find a Virgin Mary. In our places. So we need to make sure that we're raising godly daughters, teaching them well from a very young age. Furthermore, we need to be reminded of here, it speaks of Joseph. And we know from the book of Matthew that Joseph was a just and a righteous man. And we found out that Mary was pregnant. He wanted to put her away quietly. Now, as I was meditating on this and thinking on this today, we often think that when it says Joseph was righteous and therefore he wanted to put Mary away quietly, we put the emphasis on the quiet part. But it's the whole context. Joseph was righteous, so he was not going to betroth himself to get married to someone who he had thought had cheated on him, had committed adultery, had been sexually immoral. And so as I speak to young men, you need to be like Joseph, and you need to be careful of the type of women that you follow. Do not go after sexually immoral women. It will come later to bite you. It will come back later to be a big trouble to you. Now, this is not to say that there's not forgiveness for sexual immorality. There is. And it's not to say that a young man may not find a woman who has in her past committed sexual immorality and has repented, and that he should therefore then avoid her forever. But it is to say that we ought to be careful, young men, for the type of women that you look for in marriage. Also, men, we ought to be the type of person like Joseph who would be righteous and would not put up with sexual immorality, and at the same time would have a caring attitude for those that he cares about. There is a point of having focused on the fact that he would put her away quietly and not to shame her and to destroy her. And so he showed mercy as well as righteousness. But we know that God appeared to a dream to Joseph and told him to marry her anyways, and he obeyed. And so we ought to obey. Finally, here you see in our verses that we shared that the angel said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." Why was she a favored one? Because the Lord was with her. As Protestant Christians, we honor Mary. We should not shy away and be ashamed because Roman Catholics have gone so far to lift her up and place her in a station almost equal with God. We should not be afraid to honor Mary. Right? Mary was honored. She was favored by God. We give honor to honor is due. We give honor to all the prophets and the apostles and to the women that God used in the church. And so, yes, we ought to honor Mary, have respect for her, a high amount of respect. But one thing you noticed here is that she's favored because the Lord is with her. This is not because she was in and of herself worthy of honor, as if she was able to do good deeds and to be this modest woman that we've already talked about apart from God. No, the Lord had favored her, and the Lord had favored her before even this point. He had worked in her and enabled her to live the kind of life that would enable her to come to this point where she would have surrender and submission and obedience to what is about to happen, this overturning of her life in one sense of an expectation that she never expected. And yet the Lord had favored her. And so as we honor her, as we think of her, we're not praying to her, we're not bowing down to images of her, but we do honor her as a favored one because of what the Lord has done. The Lord is gracious. He's good. And he takes men and women throughout church history, throughout the Bible, and even today, and he makes them favored. He gives his favor upon them. Because we don't really deserve it. We ought to give all the glory and honor to God. Now, as we come today to receive instruction and lift up our petitions to him, let's bow our knees to him, give him honor, and then let's confess where we are sinners, where we need his favor, his grace. And then we can know that the Almighty God does not desire the death of a sinner, but that a sinner would repent and have life. And so let us repent and have life today. Let us pray. Lord God, eternal and almighty Father, we acknowledge before your holy majesty that we are poor sinners, conceived and born in guilt and in corruption, prone to do evil, unable of our own power to do good. Because of our sin, we endlessly violate your holy commandments. But, O Lord, with heartfelt sorrow, we repent and turn away from all our offenses. We condemn ourselves and our evil ways, with true sorrow, asking that your grace will relieve our distress. Have compassion on us, most gracious God, Father of mercies, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And in removing our guilt, also grant us daily increase of the grace of your Holy Spirit, and produce in us the fruits of holiness and of righteousness pleasing in your sight, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on us sinners. Brothers, examine your consciences to know whether you truly repent of your sins, and whether by trusting in God's mercy, you seek your salvation in Jesus Christ alone, and therefore you're resolved to pursue in holiness, and to live in peace and love with all men. If that's the testimony that you have in your hearts before God, then be assured, your sins are forgiven through the perfect merit of Jesus Christ our Lord, and you are a favored one. O Lord, open thou our lips, and our mouth will show forth thy praise. Open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Listen now to this psalm reading from Psalm chapter 145. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. A psalm of praise of David. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wonderful works I will meditate. Men shall speak of the power of your awesome acts, and I will tell of your greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of your abundant goodness and will shout joyfully of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and your godly ones shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men your mighty acts, and the glory of the majesty of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord sustains all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due time. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his deeds. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. The Lord keeps all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh will bless his holy name forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Glory be to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Hallelujah. Our King and Savior draweth nigh. O come, let us adore him. Brothers, Jesus said, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished." Therefore, let's listen to this Old Testament reading from 2 Kings chapter 10, verse 32 through chapter 12, verse 21. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. In those days, the Lord began to cut off portions from Israel, and Hazael defeated them throughout the territory of Israel. From the Jordan eastward, all the land of Gilead, the Gadites and the Reubenites and the Manassites from Aroer, which is by the valley of Arnon, even Gilead and Bashan. Now the rest of the acts of Jehu and all that he did and all his might, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Israel? And Jehu slept with his fathers, and they buried him in Samaria. And Jehoahaz, his son, became king in his place. Now the time which Jehu reigned over Israel and Samaria was 28 years. When Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she rose and destroyed all the royal offspring. But Jehosheba, the daughter of King Joram, sister of Ahaziah, took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, and stole him among the king's sons who were being put to death, and placed him and his nurse in the bedroom. So they hid them from Athaliah, and he was not put to death. So he was hidden with her in the house of the Lord 6 years, while Alathiah was reigning over the land. Now, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captain of hundreds of the Karaites and of the guard, and brought them to him in the house of the Lord. Then he made a covenant with them and put them under oath in the house of the Lord and showed them the king's son. He commanded them, saying, "This is the thing you shall do. One third of you who come in on the Sabbath and keep watch over the king's house, one third also shall be at the gate, sir, and one third at the gate behind the guards shall keep watch over the house for defense. Two parts of you, even all who go out on the Sabbath, shall also keep watch over the house of the Lord for the king. Then you shall surround the king, each with his weapons in his hand. And whoever comes within the ranks shall be put to death. And be with the king when he goes out and when he comes in." So the captains of hundreds did according to all that Jehoiada the priest commanded. And each one of them took his men who were to come in on the Sabbath with those who were to go out on the Sabbath and come to Jehoiada the priest. The priest gave the captains of hundreds the spears and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of the Lord. The guards stood each with his weapons in his hand, from the right side of the house to the left side of the house, by the altar and by the house around the king. Then he brought the king's son out and put the crown on him and gave him the testimony. And they made him king and anointed him. And they clapped their hands and said, "Long live the king." When Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people in the house of the Lord. She looked, and behold, the king was standing by the pillar, according to the custom, with the captains and the trumpeters beside the king. And all the people of the land rejoiced and blew trumpets. Then Athaliah tore her clothes and cried, "Treason! Treason!" And Jehoiada the priest commanded the captains of the hundreds who were appointed over the army and said to them, "Bring her out between the ranks." and whatever follows her, put her to death with the sword. For the priest said, let her not be put to death in the house of the Lord. So they seized her. And when she arrived at the horse's entrance to the king's house, she was put to death there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people, that they would be the Lord's peoples, and also between the king and the people. All the people of the land went to the house of Baal and tore it down, his altars and his images. They broke in pieces thoroughly and killed Mattan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And the priest appointed officers over the house of the Lord. He took the captains of hundreds and the Kerites and the guards and all the people of the land. And they brought the king down from the house of the Lord and came by the way of the gate of the guards to the king's house. And he sat on the throne of the kings. So all of the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet, for they had put Athaliah to death with the sword at the king's house. Jehoash was 7 years old when he became king. In the 7th year of Jehu, Jehoash became king, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. Jehoash did right in the sight of the Lord all his days in which Jehoiada the priest instructed him. Only the high places were not taken away. The people still sacrificed and burned incense on the high places. Then Jehoash said to the priest, all the money of the sacred things which is brought into the house of the Lord in current money, both the money of each man's assessment and all the money which any man's heart prompts him to bring into the house of the Lord, let the priests take it for themselves, each from his acquaintance, and they shall repair the damage of the house wherever any damage may be found. But it came about that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest did not repair the damages of the house. Then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and for the other priests and said to them, why do you not repair the damages of the house? Now therefore, take no more money from your acquaintances, but pay it for the damages of the house. So the priest agreed that they would take no more money from the people, nor repair the damages of the house. But Jehoiada the priest took a chest and bore a hole in its lid and put it beside the altar on the right side as one comes into the house of the Lord. And the priest who guarded the threshold put in it all the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. When they saw that there was much money in the chest, the king's scribe and the high priest came up and tied it in bags and counted the money which was found in the house of the Lord. They gave the money which was weighed out into the hands of those who did the work, who had the oversight of the house of the Lord. And they paid it out to the carpenters and the builders who worked on the house of the Lord, and to the masons and the stone cutters, and for buying timber and hewn stone to repair the damages to the house of the Lord, and for all that was laid out for the house to repair it. But there was not made for the house of the Lord silver cups, snuffers, bowls, trumpets, any vessels of gold or vessels of silver from the money which was brought into the house of the Lord. For they gave that to those who did the work, and with it they repaired the house of the Lord. Moreover, they did not require an accounting from the men into whose hand they gave the money to pay to those who did the work, for they dealt faithfully. The money from the guilt offerings and the money from the sin offerings was not brought into the house of the Lord. It was for the priests. Then Hazael, king of Aram, went up and fought against Gath and captured it. And Hazael set his face to go up to Jerusalem. Jehoash, king of Judah, took all the sacred things that Jehoshaphat and Jehoram and Ahaziah, his father, kings of Judah, had dedicated, and his own sacred things, and all the gold that was found among the treasuries of the house of the Lord and of the king's house, and sent them to Hazael, king of Aram. Then he went away from Jerusalem. Now the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? His servants arose and made a conspiracy and struck down Joash at the house of Milo as he was going down to Silla. For Josachar, the son of Shemiath, and Jehozabad, the son of Shomar, his servants, struck him and he died, and they buried him with his fathers in the city of David. And Amaziah, his son, became king in his place. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. O God, make speed to save us. Now, brothers, the grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Listen to this New Testament reading from Acts chapter 18, verses 1 through 22. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. After these things, he left Athens and went to Corinth, and he found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, having recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. He came to them, and because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them, and they were working, for by trade they were tent makers. And he was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath and trying to persuade Jews and Greeks. But when Silas and Timothy came down from Macedonia, Paul began devoting himself completely to the word, solemnly testifying to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. But when they resisted and blasphemed, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am clean. From now on I will go to the Gentiles." Then he left there and went to the house of a man named Titus Justus, a worshipper of God, whose house was next to the synagogue. Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And the Lord said to Paul in the night by a vision, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." And he settled there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. But while Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews with one accord rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, "This man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Galileo said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrong or of vicious crime, O Jews, it would be reasonable for me to put up with you. But if there are questions about words and names in your own law, look after it yourselves. I'm unwilling to be a judge of these matters." And he drove them away from the judgment seat. And they all took hold of Sothenes, the leader of the synagogue, and began beating him in front of the judgment seat. But Galileo was not concerned about any of these things. Paul, having remained many days longer, took leave of the brethren and put out to sea for Syria, and with him were Priscilla and Aquila. In Cenchrea he had his hair cut, for he was keeping a vow. They came to Ephesus, and he left them there. Now he himself entered the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to stay for a longer time, he did not consent, but taking leave of them and saying, "I will return to you again if God wills," he set sail from Ephesus. When he had landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and went down to Antioch. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God as we profess that we believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Brothers, the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Therefore, listen to this reading from the book of Proverbs, chapter 13, verses 11 through 20. This is the word of the Lord. It is eternally true and applicable for all of life. Wealth obtained by fraud dwindles, but the one who gathers by labor increases it. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. The one who despises the word will be in debt to it, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, so turn aside from the snares of death. Good understanding produces favor, but the way of the treacherous is hard. Every prudent man acts with knowledge, but a fool displays folly. A wicked messenger falls into adversity, but a faithful envoy brings healing. Poverty and shame will come to him who neglects discipline, but he who regards reproof will be honored. Desire realized is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to turn away from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. This is the word of the Lord, and we give praise to God. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, by your Son, you have revealed to us that heaven and earth will pass away, that our bodies will rise again, and that we all must appear before the judgment throne. Keep us by your Holy Spirit in your word. Establish us in the true faith. Graciously defend us from sin and preserve us in all temptations, that our hearts may not be obsessed with carousing, drunkenness, and foolish cares, but that we may always watch and pray and trust fully in your grace. Await with joy the glorious coming of your Son and at last obtain eternal salvation through your beloved Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one true God, now and forever. Amen. Now, brothers, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You've been listening to The Daily Sword by Sovereign King Church. We pray this has been a blessing to you. Visit www.sovereignkingchurch.com for more.